say better safe than sorry, Tommy. Okay. But this could be worrying a little too much. Mm. And really, even if you did the research, there's no guarantees this place will do anything to protect you.
Yeah.
Because there was a time.
There was a time.
When people in Rochester were very concerned about this and prepared for good reason. But now, you're going to need serious cash to even have a chance at surviving this apocalypse. Mm.
Apocalypse.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. You're watching the news, reading the papers.
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of international tension.
Yeah.
Russia, Europe, the Middle East, and some folks in Rochester, because of all the tension, the temperature being risen in Asia and Europe and all of these places, have decided to get proactive.
What are they going
to
do?
Well, they have started to figure out where all of the fallout shelters in Rochester are.
From the 1950s.
You got it.
Okay.
So for those who weren't...
Go down there and watch Ed Sullivan.
For those who weren't alive during the Cold War, fallout shelters, and I know you feel really old that I have to explain this, but we have to explain this. Fallout shelters are places where you go and ideally are kept safe in the event that a nuclear weapon is dropped on or around Rochester.
Yeah.
They're concrete bunkers.
Basically, underneath buildings.
You got it. And at one time, all of these things were fitted with food, water, oxygen masks, first aid kits, all these things. Now, there has been a list circulating around social media in some Rochester Facebook groups where Rochester fallout shelters still exist.
Okay.
And it's interesting.
All right.
Because I know that everybody that has lived in this town for a long time can immediately think of where they've seen that circle with the yellow and black stripes on it, right? You know off the top of your head where there is a fallout shelter. So in case of something horrific happening, I think most of us would have a place where if you wanted to make that move, you could go.
Sure.
But there are a few problems.
Yeah.
Tommy, one, it looks like this list, these lists are either places that have A, fallout shelter signs still outside, like on the building.
Yeah, yeah.
Or B, places that people remember having fallout shelters when they were kids.
Known for.
Yes, places where they went when they had like drills and things. So there's a story in City Magazine from a few years ago.
What are they saying?
It says it's believed that none of the fallout shelters in the greater Rochester area have been maintained, nor do they have the provisions to keep people alive if we all had to stay in there for a
while. Basically, they're probably like storage areas, or if there was provisions, they'd be at a date by like decades.
Well, no, because some of those provisions were supposed to last 100 years, legit.
But none of that stuff ever does.
How do you know?
Can you imagine medicine that's been down there for 50 years?
Okay, the medicine is one thing. I'm sorry, Kim. I didn't mean to cut you off. But like, if we're being serious here, if you have decided that you are going to try and live through
survive.
This. Yes. And there is a fallout shelter with canned and whatever food from the 1950s. Yeah, I get you don't want to eat canned peaches from the Eisenhower administration, but it's better than dying.
Yeah, maybe.
Were those shelters... I mean, I think at the time they were built, they thought they would withstand.
Yes.
An attack or an explosion. I don't know if they would actually, especially over time and not being maintained, actually protect anybody from anything.
Valid point. Valid point. However, I will say this. I mean, you know this, Tommy, because we've seen the videos over and over again from the government. They did test to see what it would take to withstand nuclear weapons.
But aren't the weapons a lot more powerful now? You know, they're not going to be falling out of like a B-29 bomber flown by your grandfather. Let's give it to him, Tommy!
Yeah, but you're also under the assumption that it's going to be a direct hit where you are, right? So, I mean, a lot of these shelters, you rode out the radiation. That's why they had the provisions down there. So here's where it gets really interesting.
What's that?
With all of these folks now on social media worried about the state of the world, listing where Rochester fallout shelters still exist. Back in the day, we as a community were prepared.
Yes.
A story in the Democrat and Chronicle from 1974.
What do they say?
Says there were 584 fallout shelters in Monroe County with room for almost 377,000 people.
Damn.
If they were still all in operation, one half of the population of Monroe County would have a place to go in case of a nuclear bomb detonation.
Right, we could survive.
And the reason we had so many in Rochester places to go in case of nuclear explosion, it is believed, as you said earlier, that Rochester was on a list of targets from the Soviets because of all the government contracts Kodak had.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, yeah, we were on the list.
Did we ever get that confirmed, by the way, after the Berlin Wall fell?
I don't know.
Because I wonder, you know how every community thinks they're like the greatest?
And they're that important?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that, did we know that for sure? Or were we like, oh, they're going to come get us?
Well, I mean,
they're coming for the Amherst. Dick Gamble's going down.
I mean, maybe, you know, back in Russia, you know, Khrushchev had a big map of like a Ronda Quaid.
We need to get them because the town is full.
Okay.
Okay. So it's funny with this whole idea of Rochester being a target. Again, 252 WCMF, with all the tensions going on in the universe right now, there is a list circulating in Rochester groups on social media of where people believe all the fallout shelters still are in case of a nuclear attack.
Mm.
The U.S. government put out a manual in the 1950s called Rochester Target City.
Okay.
So the U.S. government thought we were a target. Mm. Okay. And inside, it has the time, the estimated time a bomber would make it from Siberia to Rochester.
All right.
It had what to do in Rochester when we found out trouble was on the way.
Yeah.
It had all of the places to go where the fallout shelters were, like where your assigned shelter would be.
Yeah.
And it had the radio station to tune in when the bomb was dropped.
CMA.
It's a nuclear bomb, baby! But, like, it is eerie because I'm looking at this online, and you can, like, flip through it. It's an actual physical copy of the thing digitally. And, like, there must be people who still live in Rochester that had these in their hands. So I don't know if this is handed out to everybody or, like, special people that work at Kodak.
I mean, there's probably some houses around here because people built bomb shelters, too, at their house.
You're right.
But they were just, like, you know, cement block, like, basements, basically, or almost like a root cellar, you would call it?
Yeah.
So
you said it wrong.
Root cellar?
Thank you.
So there's got to be a ton of those around here in some of these old houses.
252 WCMF, did you buy a house that has a fallout shelter? Do you know if it's supposed to be a fallout shelter?
Somebody along the way turned it into a man cave something.
Yeah. Fallout shelter man cave be pretty badass.
Would be really cool. I'm surprised they don't revive them in like a tourist attraction almost. Because I would love to go down and look at one.
But it might not be as exciting as you think.
No, like you stock it back at how it would have looked in 1955.
But I mean, it is a piece of history.
Oh, you can almost turn it into like a restaurant.
Yeah, but that being said, most of these fallout shelters are just parts of public buildings that have other things going on, right? So like, you know, you can't open up a restaurant inside an elementary school or inside like, you know, a building that has 15 other offices going on.
Yeah.
And I think that, to your point, you want to put a restaurant in it? Like, after the first time you eat in just a plain concrete room.
No, but you dress it up like a 50s fallout show. Okay. That would be the theme.
So, concrete room with barrels.
Yes. Yeah, it'd be bleak.
That's what you call it.
Yeah, bleaks.
Bleaks. So, you brought up the whole building fallout shelters at home.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The events of the last few years have reignited the personal fallout shelter business.
Think people are buying them again.
So much so that right now you can go online and buy a prefab mini nuclear fallout shelter for your home. And I'm not making this up. You can look for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it's already assembled?
Yes.
You just bury it in the ground?
Yes. A company called Rising S Bunkers will sell you an 8x12 mini bunker for your house.
Yeah, that's not too big.
It's not, but hey, it's the end of the world. It comes with amenities. You get an escape hatch, bunk beds, an air filtration system, a water pressure pump.
Okay.
All of this can be yours.
How much?
For the low, low price of $49,000.
$49,000? You can build your own.
By the way, that price does not include delivery and installation.
I would just think that somebody that thinks that they need this kind of thing also doesn't trust the company that's providing it.
You know, you bring up an interesting point.
Like, I think, like, that guy is going to go out there and do it himself.
Oh, no, but I don't know what I'm doing putting a fallout shelter in.
But my point is, if you're somebody that really is going to take it to that level, I think that you're skeptical of everybody, everything. I'm going to make sure this is done my way.
No, but there are some snake oil salesmen that they manage to sell these pills.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And then, like, people trust them for some reason. Yeah.
Here's the problem with all that. So let's say you build your own or you buy a fallout shelter for your house.
Yeah.
You install it. You stock it, you set.
Sure.
But let's say nothing really pops that bad for 4 years.
Okay.
But in 4 years, holy Christ.
What?
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
You open up that fallout shelter.
Sure.
Your wife's already been down there.
Okay.
What's in it? All her crap. There's gift bags, old decorations, sweaters she doesn't want to wear anymore. There'll be storage containers like, I'm saving this for the kids when they go off to college. Like, you'll die just pulling the stuff out from radiation poisoning, and you'll be so pissed off at the time. Just carrying stuff out. Like old mirrors and stuff. Like, I'm going to be surprised at how many mirrors we have in our basement. We don't use it anymore.
Why would you have so many mirrors?
Because we remodel. We just put them downstairs.
East side has bitch things.
Okay, I do think
the whole house is, you think, doing this. West Side ain't building no bomb shelter.
As I said, they're building it themselves.
They just go underneath their Camaros.
No, I think all the Aquanet would protect your brain anyway. Go ahead, Kimmy. I'm sorry.
I would think if you are somebody that has one of these, like, yeah, you're knowing that's out there, mm-hmm. you're going to put it to use, even if you're not using it for its actual purpose.
I don't know, though. If I spend $49,000 on something that's going to save my life, I'm just going to leave it empty in case I need it.
I don't know.
Folks have been waiting patiently. Right. 252 WCMF. We're talking about the end of the world. Mm. Fallout shelters in Rochester. And folks that have been putting together lists worried about nuclear war of where you can go to fallout shelters that have not been serviced since before the 1970s here in the greater Rochester area. Dan is on CMF. Hey, Danny boy. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. What do you got?
Good. You know, I wouldn't even be worried about, you know, the nuclear holocaust at this point. I feel like the EMP bombs are probably the biggest thing in our age that's a big concern.
I'm going to be honest. Don't know. Yeah, guys, don't really want to know. Mm. Not really a thing I want on my radar, Dan.
Yeah, it's basically just shuts down all
literally
time.
Just said, do not know. Do not want to know, Danny boy. Do not want to know.
All right.
Great call. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. All right. Here we
Yeah.
You scared? You're about to be.
You don't even know, buddy.
Tommy, do you think the people worried about this are nuts?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's not going to work, man.
Okay, so wait. You're saying not, they're not nuts for worrying about this. They're nuts for thinking this will work.
I think both. Okay. I think you're crazy to worry about things you can't control.
Okay.
And this is not going to work.
But here's the thing. Tommy, you grew up in a country
yes.
that was collectively terrified by this every single mm-hmm. day. You yourself in school
yeah.
did drills. To protect yeah. yourself from nuclear weapons. For example, all we have to do is get all of the old desks that we had, hide under them, nobody gets evaporated by a nuclear bomb.
Or just, like, you're in the hallway and you just curl up like a ball.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
And my brother was one that bought the older survival stuff. My dad was also kind of into this, too. Like, you got to stock up.
I mean, he was in the military when they dropped the bomb.
He was kind of, yes, he was in the military.
He was right there.
Yeah, he was in Finger Lakes.
Ground Zero, then Ground Lake 47.
What did I say about the Finger Lakes back then?
What's that?
That one Japanese Zero got past Skinny Atlas. But like he used to load up on toilet paper and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because you want a raw ass, you know, you'll be running around with a raw ass. Probably won't be running around with a raw ass.
I
might just sit down and surrender.
You did the same thing during COVID. You bought too much toilet paper that you needed.
They need special toilet paper, though, Pat.
I got the septic system.
Give me your receipt.
Also, even if you are fully prepared, you have this thing ready to go, what are the odds that you're even home or not
yes.
sleeping when it happens? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
what
it's a missile attack.
You have time
they're kind of quick.
To get there and make sure everybody's there and accounted for.
But again, I get where you're coming from. Yeah. You're not wrong. But here's the thing. Like, you know, we all think we know how this would go. We don't.
That's what I mean. It's going to be a surprise.
No, but I mean, you may have 45 minutes to an hour
but
to
prepare.
But here's
like the thing. Like, I always figure, first of all, if it actually happens, it's all toast. It's all toast. There's nothing left, right? But to your point, too, like, it's a missile that's going to get here in 15 minutes from across the globe. You know what I mean?
I don't know how this would work.
It's not a Dave Matthews tour where it's going to make multiple stops for us.
Here we go, blow your house up. No, I mean, look, you may be right,
yeah.
but it is arrogant to assume we know how nuclear warfare would work and how the process of this would go. We've never been through it before.
Okay, all right.
And, like, here's the thing. Mm. Look, I agree with you that folks that are, you know, stressing out about this and trying to survive this thing, it does give us an interesting perspective, however. We are living in what feels like very scary times,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's a fair statement to make. And if the world does make you uncomfortable right now,
yeah.
who are we to tell you, don't worry about it?
You do you, man.
But, it wasn't that long ago that the U.S. government built nuclear fallout shelters for one half of the population of Rochester in case of imminent destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at things through that lens, I mean, it does seem like maybe things were a touch scarier back then, right? Like the U.S. government was so worried about this. They had half of the population in Rochester ready to go underground.
But it was all new. I mean, it was new technology, new warfare. We didn't understand.
And again, I am not here to say that was the wrong way to do it, because you're right. We had no perspective. But I guess the point I'm making now is, if we are aware of how this works,
mm-hmm.
right, and there has not been a push to reopen all of this stuff or fix the infrastructure that we once had, maybe, you know, it's not something we should be worrying about the way we worried about it 50 years ago.
That's true.
But I'm just thinking out loud. By the way, always easier to take the don't worry about total destruction, because if I'm right, I get to look cool.
Yep.
If I'm wrong, we've all been evaporated. Right. You can't tell me I'm an idiot.
True. Also, would Rochester even be on anyone's radar at this point?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Kimmy,
I feel like you can make that argument back in the day, but what, like, I feel like they have bigger fish to fry than Rochester, New York.
I don't know what we've got going on here still. I mean, there was going to be a point where Rochester, New York was going to be a manufacturer for medicine for America, which would make us a pretty big target. Yeah.
I guess.
I guess the one thing I would look forward to is the surprise countries that we did know had nuclear weapons and all of a sudden decided to pull her out now.
You'd look forward to that.
Yeah, like, oh my God, man, they had one too. We didn't even know.
Liechtenstein's got
a nuke.
Yeah,
how'd they get one?
They got one.
Yes.
Jacob writes us on Instagram. What? There would be no time to prepare because we'd just intercept the missile before it even got here if we knew it was coming. I want to believe that's true.
If we just intercept it, it's over.
But, like, we've never done that before.
Star Wars. Reagan thought we had Star Wars.
No, like, look, maybe Jacob's right. Maybe this is not even anything to worry about because we have the technology. Yeah, to stop it. Right. That being said, if you've never, you know, if you buy something and you use it for the first time, you can't guarantee, like, you know, I want a couple runs at it.
Yeah, because you just don't know.
I will wrap up like this because, you know, I'm a petty-ass bitch.
Whatever.
You know, it's funny that all of the fallout shelters here in town, they're out of service. Yeah. They're probably not going to help you, whatever, if something terrible happens.
You even know where they are.
Right? But again, from whatever, 1940, whatever, up until the 1970s, 80s, they had room for half of Rochester back when life was better, back in the day when the U.S. government always had to have bomb shelters to protect you in Rochester from total nuclear annihilation.
True.
Let's go back to that.
Okay.
Remember those days when we were kids?
And by the way, so it was like 300,000?
377,000 souls.
And that was like in 1970.
That was 1974.
Yeah. Think how fat we are now. We couldn't even get a third of those people down there now. We sold out. Sorry, we got four people in there. It's all we can hold.
Could you imagine like the chaos or the mutiny that would go on? You're stuck in one of these shelters with a bunch of people because, like, so-and-so over there, they're eating too much.
People
eating too much of the stock, drinking too much water.
People would get
smell.
Killed.
How about the smell?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, this ain't about...
no bathing.
It's so funny, right, to, like, hear this guy who lived through this stuff. Like, you're such a spoiled-ass East Side rich kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is about survival.
I know, and you're worried about the smell.
The smell. Somebody's eating too many peaches. You're so fat. Oh, he's touching my elbow. Like, bro, we're just trying to survive.
Yeah, I like to be comfortable in my survival.
I want comfortability when trying to keep the human race going. By the way, if we're kicking people out, you have nothing to offer. You're gone. You're pretty much vaporized already. Look at you. This is the story of a businessman.
What happened?
And please say he had a hell of a business going.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately for him, this business... very illegal.
Oh.
Very illegal. When it comes to buying most other things, Tommy, convenience is key. Like when a place has a ton of products all in one spot, saves you time, you want to go there.
All right.
But in this case, I think the more you have, the worse of a situation.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy.
Yeah, buddy.
We are taking a ride out to Canandaigua.
What's going on?
Well, that's where yesterday the Ontario County Sheriff's Department announced they made an arrest in a drug ring running inside of their community.
Yeah.
Authorities say they pulled over a 42-year-old man on Monday, and then they went to work executing search warrants. And, oh my, they say they found a lot.
Okay, what'd they get?
Did you see this story?
I sure did.
Okay. They say they found 1.5 kilos of cocaine, over 9,000 tabs of LSD, 6 pounds of marijuana, 6.5 pounds of mushrooms, 1.6 kilos of ketamine. Guy must have horses.
Mm-hmm.
27.9 ounces of MDMA. I don't even know if that's a lot of MDMA. And exactly 92 ecstasy pills.
Somebody's prepared for concert season.
They say they also got their hands on almost $7,000 in cash, which when lined up with all this other stuff, doesn't even sound like that much cash.
Yeah.
The 42-year-old is in big-time trouble. This morning, he remains in the Ontario County Jail without bail. That is a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of drugs. And I think what gets lost a lot of times in stories like this.
What's that?
The connections this guy would have to be in possession of all of this if the allegations are true.
Yeah.
Because, Tommy, we've seen from bigger drug stories, when it comes to sourcing illicit substances, there isn't like a Sam's Club, all you can buy drugs.
Yeah.
One group sells you coke, one group sells you pot, you have another hookup for ecstasy. So if the allegations here are true, how many people was this guy using to get all of the stuff that he had?
How many customers did he have because he had that much of a selection?
I mean, I'm guessing his customers all looked very different.
Well, I mean, yes, exactly. Like, just based on
I mean, he's a food court.
Yes. I mean, Kimmy, you bring up a great point. Like, if you sell pot, You know who you're selling to. You sell coke. You know who you're selling to.
Mushrooms.
I mean, like cocaine, LSD, marijuana, mushrooms, ketamine, MDMA, ecstasy pills. That runs the gamut of like five different subcultures of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Must be a very friendly guy.
I wonder if it's because if it's a smaller town, he provides everything.
One-stop shop.
You know what I mean?
But you're also under the assumption he's only selling in Canandaigua.
Well, like in that area.
Okay.
You know, the country.
Well, look, I mean, come
country
on.
Dealer.
The come Finger on, Lakes man. Region of drug dealers.
You've been around long enough where you know it's not hard to find anything you need in any place you are.
No, but like maybe he's, you know, he cornered the market, I guess is what I'm saying. Like he became the guy.
Okay. If the allegations are true, of course. True or false?
Hmm.
Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. The more types of drugs you sell, the less likely I want to buy drugs from you.
Hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, like I want you to be an expert in one thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And by the way, if you're someone who imbibed back in the day, I want you to think back to those younger years.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
With any other business, buying from the store with the best selection of products means not only most likely the best prices, but a business that knows what it's doing.
Right.
It is well-versed. However, to Kimmy's point, I feel like drugs might be different. If you're an expert on every drug, like someone who's done a bunch of different stuff to the point where you know what you're looking for and we can have a discussion about it, you're probably not older than 35.
Okay.
Because either you didn't go long and your body
life
just gave
been
up.
A little tougher.
Yep. Or you got locked up.
Mm-hmm.
How are you a 42-year-old man who would have expertise to discuss cocaine, LSD, marijuana, mushrooms, ketamine, MDMA, and ecstasy?
All right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable buying drugs from a man who had all of these drugs?
I mean, I always look for easy, like, the only time I've, pot and cocaine is the only thing I've ever purchased.
Mm.
But if they had it all right there, I guess I'm as in.
Wouldn't even cross your mind.
Nah, I just want to get it done.
You know, you bring up a...
Try to negotiate a deal.
I'm not that good of a negotiator, so no. Then I'm thinking, like, if you're a junkie, you don't, that's a completely different mindset.
You're right, but when it comes to junkie, and I know I don't mean to draw like lines here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't a lot of junkie drugs here. Like when I think junkie, I think heroin, I think meth, I think crack cocaine.
Yes, those are your big ones.
Like these are more, I guess designer drugs are the wrong way.
Well,
these,
they're like
fun time drugs.
Party drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That's a perfect way to put it. Like, I know there are people that are addicted to cocaine and things like that, ketamine, whatever. But
this is party stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would feel wildly uncomfortable because I only ever bought pot back in the day.
Yeah.
If I walked in to buy pot and on this guy's table, he's got ketamine, MDMA, coke, mushrooms, all that stuff. How does that not cross your mind?
It does. Maybe it should. Because I would be, this guy's got a lot of stuff. It's pretty good.
Pretty cool.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Check it out. I got to touch it.
Bunch of BJs and drugs.
I wonder if he gets a lot of like impulse buys. Like if somebody goes in for something and be like, I also have this if you want to try.
But Kimmy, you brought up a great point. Like how many times do those lines cross? Like how many times does a guy who does LSD want to do coke? How many times does a guy that does ketamine want to do ecstasy? Actually, I'm not really familiar with those two, so maybe those cross.
I don't know.
But like a marijuana smoker is much different than someone who's going to do coke.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But marijuana, mushrooms, maybe a little bit more overlap there.
Fair enough.
I'm just thinking there could be some things that maybe he could upsell to people.
Comes out of upsell. I'm going to put you in these mushrooms today.
If you liked that high.
252-WCMF. We're talking about this 42-year-old man arrested out in Ontario County. Search warrant served after he was pulled over in Canandaigua. Police say he had 1.5 kilos of coke, over 9,000 tabs of LSD, 6 pounds of marijuana, 6.5 pounds of mushrooms, 1.6 kilos of ketamine, 27.9 ounces of MDMA, and 92 ecstasy pills. If you buy drugs, or were someone who did back in the day, I want my drug dealer to sell one drug and one drug only.
So you're just like a focused guy.
Straight up, uncut. Not uncut, because that might kill you, too. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Ben's on CMF. Hey, Ben, how are you, buddy?
Hey, first off, I apologize about Tuesday. I was kind of a dick.
Hey, man, you're always a dick, but don't worry about it.
But anyways, maybe he was on his way down to the lake to make door-to-door sales to all the people that live down there.
Okay. He's like the Girl Scouts of drugs.
The welcome wagon.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Be more proactive about it.
Okay. All right. Well, again, but the more proactive you are in the drug game, the higher the risk you are if you get caught.
Yeah.
True. But But, I mean, also, Canandaigua, like, the richer people down there kind of have a reputation for having party drugs and stuff like that.
Okay. I mean, look, I understand that. I do always find that funny, too. Because, Ben, every community of every kind of people have a reputation for all kinds of different things, right? I mean, look, Tommy and I traveled to the smallest towns in America doing jokes. And when we got there, there was stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Major stuff.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. Oh, one other thing real quick.
Here's where the call goes like bad.
Tommy looks like the fourth member of the Blue Man Group in case somebody's sick.
Ben, as Tommy predicted, this is where the call goes bad.
I tried, guys. I tried.
Yeah, you did. Thanks for trying, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
All right, have a good one, guys.
There goes Ben. Mitch writes us on Instagram. He says, you guys couldn't sound dumber right now. Tell me why. Look, I know. I'm out of the drug game.
Yeah, what do we do?
I've been out for a while. Why are we dumb? I mean, you want that? Yeah, you want that kind of selection?
We're willing to hear your theories.
Yes. 252-WCMF. You can write us at Duffy on WCMF on Instagram. It's the easiest way to get me. I'm right here. Right? You know, the other thing about this story that kind of throws me?
Yeah.
Guy's 42.
Yeah.
Which feels to me a little long in the tooth for a drug dealer.
It is.
Right?
It is. But you never know, man, you know. He's been at it a long time.
Well, but that's just it. Like, a drug dealer, again, any other, if I go to a butcher, I want a butcher with experience.
Yeah.
If a guy's going to put siding on my house, I want a guy who has experience. Do you want a drug dealer with experience?
Well, yeah, I guess. Okay. I mean, listen, if you're...
Stuck around this long.
You're pretty good at it if you're still alive.
Okay, but there's two different kinds of people who sell drugs.
Yeah.
There are the folks who sell the drugs. And don't touch the drugs, which I guess this would work here because you've been clear-headed.
Yeah.
There's also the folks that sell the drugs so they can buy their own drugs.
Yeah.
Or partake in the drugs. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look, man, we've been in this business a long time. Mm-hmm. The places we've worked.
Yeah.
There are people that we know that did a lot of drugs for a long time.
Yes.
And they are not people I would trust to tell me anything about anything.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you may be an expert based on experience, but I don't trust your brain right now.
I am surprised, though, like the people that I've known, and I've got some in my family that have been really hardcore junkies, like street level people that are still alive.
Okay.
Like, I always thought, man, I never thought you'd be this age.
It does.
And, like your body didn't get the message.
It does feel like there are some people that are just genetically predisposed. I mean, you look at someone, if we go famous, right? Like Keith Richards.
Well, he's this,
How?
I know.
Ozzy Osbourne is still alive. He's going to do a farewell show. That guy should not be alive.
Yeah, but I think it's that they got that gene, man.
Like, that must really piss you off if you, like, die of a heart attack and, like, when you're 59.
Oh, yeah.
Jogging.
Mm-hmm.
And
taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and, like, you know, these guys that did heroin, like, yeah, we'll still go. They're all British. Is it a British thing?
Well, the Brits seem to be able to handle their stuff.
Can you think of a rock star, an American rock star, that had a serious addiction issue of, like, a hard drug? For a while, that made
still
it through.
Kicking.
I mean, Lou Reed, but he's gone now. Iggy Pop, was he bad?
Yeah, but I don't think he was bad for long.
Okay,
look like some of these guys cleaned up their act, like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
You know, he went to prison. He kind of cleaned it up, found Jesus, straightened himself out.
Sure. I mean, oh, yeah, and
but like the guys that went hard, they all died at 27. They did.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, even like you know Belushi, all of those guys.
Who's the American equivalent?
Yeah, I don't think we got one.
Charlie Sheen.
Well,
that's a good one because he did everything, man.
Not that young, or he's not that old yet.
How old is Charlie Sheen?
He's got to be pushing 60.
Yeah, but we're talking.
Yeah, but
Keith Richards
you guys
and Ozzy
are
Osbourne.
Talking about some old dudes.
But remember, but he's still going.
Yeah,
Charlie Sheen is 59.
Oh well, he's got a while to go. He ain't gonna. No, it's not good. That's not good.
He may. Be, I think he goes. I think he's our guy. He's our Keith.
He's in a bad spot. No, it is wrong. I can't think of one American.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single American. What is wrong with us? I thought we were supposed to be the greatest country on the planet. Can't handle a little heroin,
like
guys?
Like, Axl Rose just got fat.
Yeah, but he also stopped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got nominations for Steven Tyler.
Now, he cleaned up long ago.
I thought he did. And have you seen, and he looks like everyone's guidance counselor from high school now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was bad, but that was in
when
the
did
70s.
When did he clean up?
Like in the 70s.
Okay.
Like he was like street bum for a while.
But then again, I guess like Keith also cleaned up in the early 80s. So
but they asked Keith like what when he said he cleaned up, all he does now is vodka and cigarettes.
Well, yeah, he's British sober.
I'll clean it up.
Okay. Well, I guess Steven Tyler's our leader in the clubhouse right now. Leave it to the NFL.
What they do?
To swoop in and fix a problem
All right.
with a solution that will not fix the problem which we are using to determine we need to fix the problem in the first place. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. The NFL Combine starts this week.
Oh, boy.
It's today, actually. Mm-hmm. So,
and you can watch it, can't you?
Yeah, it does huge numbers.
Yeah. Mm.
It does huge numbers. I mean, why would you not want to see a bunch of dudes in underwear running around?
Just working out.
But with the NFL Combine comes all the league meetings.
Right.
And they discuss rule changes. For example, the Green Bay Packers earlier this week wanted to outlaw the tush push.
Yeah, I saw that. Big breaking news.
Yep, no word on whether or not that happened. But the NFL did make an announcement yesterday.
What did they say?
They are going to be changing the ball spotting rules. And the reason ball spotting rules became a topic of conversation, as we all know here in Western New York, was that fourth and two Josh Allen had, that he clearly got in the AFC Championship game, that did not come out the way it was supposed to. So the question was how they were going to do this, and we all assumed it was going to be a chip in the ball. There would be something on the...
Which would make sense, like an electronic thing to read it.
Exactly. There'd be a stick at the end of the first down thing. It would go off. You'd be able to turn it off. Well, it turns out that's not how they're going to do it.
No, why not?
They have something called virtual Hawkeye tech. And the NFL said yesterday they've been using this in the preseason for the last couple of years.
What does it do?
It is an overhead camera that uses technology to spot the ball.
Well, didn't we already have that when I see that overhead camera when they... When they show you the aerial footage, is that the same thing?
Okay, so two things. One, I don't know if the aerial camera that we see on those broadcasts are used by the NFL in the reviews. Yeah. And two, it seems like there may be more technology involved than just a camera over
all
the
right,
top.
Right.
Details are fuzzy. I'm sure we'll get more as we move forward.
But it's still a judgment call.
And that's the problem, is you'll get a better look, and maybe there is something that the ball will be picked up by, blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Whatever. But there is a catch.
What's the catch?
The reason Josh Allen didn't get that first down in the AFC Championship game, according to the NFL, is his forward progress was stopped before he hit the line to gain.
Okay.
NFL refs will still, on the field, be able to decide when the progress is stopped. So, you know when you're watching a game and a guy's moving?
Yeah, it kind of goes back
and then they just blow the whistle like, okay, it's over? That's still going to happen. So, it is very possible that even with this new technology, the play in Kansas City that cost the Bills will still end with the same result.
So nothing.
Good job, I guess. Way to go.
So you would then assume that most of the time when they're reviewing these kind of situations, they're going to be marked shorter than they actually are, right? If you're going by that, then that gives officials the power to say, well, nope, started before.
I don't know. I would think it's the opposite. We're going to let them go and then see where the... You're right. It does create a complicated situation because we've seen with other things when review showed up, for example.
Yeah.
It used to be a judgment call immediately if someone fumbled the football and we let the play go on.
Yeah.
Now we will see if it's a close fumble, the refs will let the play go and go back and review it. You're right. You can't really do that with this.
Right. Like, I'm thinking the second that they see that ball stop or go backwards a little bit, that's where they're going to mark it every time, if this is actually going to be a rule.
So, you're right. If we get quicker whistles, we're going to have less fourth down conversions, which then hurts offense.
So, did they just fear technology?
I understand kind of where they're coming from.
What?
When you start to rely on technology... You, one, run the risk of the technology failing you in the most important moments, right? And that's a problem.
That's a possibility.
Two, it does take some of the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Drama?
Yes. Yeah, that's a perfect word.
The review, the stoppage?
Yeah. Look, I am convinced, as much as that stick situation in Kansas City hurt us, the greatest moment of every football game is a fourth and short, third and short, when they run the sticks out there. Because they do
draw
it on
the lines on the television screen.
Exactly. You're trying to figure it out.
I don't know, Jim.
That's a great Tony Romo. No, I'm talking about they do it on purpose. They will bring the chains out, and they will make it a yard short, and then we all together pull get to it, see them slowly pull the chain out. Right. And how close
Very
are
dramatic.
We? That I love that moment. If there was an NFL Network channel where it only showed me those moments, I would watch it on repeat.
Right.
It's
a valid point. You get a little drama there, but I mean, you think with all this technology, you could just have the game move faster.
I think when something's too perfect, it's not as attractive.
Oh.
Like, for example, the NBA. The NBA is the best it's ever been in the history of the league. Yeah. You have the most athletic people doing things that you cannot believe on a nightly basis. It's borderline perfection. and people have stopped watching.
So it's boring.
I mean, I think that's what it is. Oh. You just come to expect perfection. And when there is no drama or the potential for something to go the wrong way,
right.
I think it does take eyes away. Like, you know, if you take umpires away, the Major League Baseball has the ability to do a completely computerized strike.
Why are they using that robotic ump now?
Yes, that will be starting.
And he even started gaining weight and got in trouble.
Yeah, but he's got his own salsa. They have the ability to do a completely computerized.
Digital.
Yeah, whatever. Strike zone. If they do that, you don't get the drama of that half a beat, two-hand out with a big fat guy with pastrami hanging out of his mouth. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
That is.
I mean, it's a valid point. It's a little bit of theatrics.
So I don't know. You're right. I want the call to be right because that's what we're doing here, and gambling now plays a big part in these sports, so that is absolutely necessary.
Plus, the other thing is I hate when the game goes too freaking long. Like, especially when it gets too drawn out. That's the other thing. Like, you know, already, like, these games, they start, like, the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes long. Who needs it?
Well, what does long have to do with this?
Because, like, it's like I think it would speed the game up. Like,
oh.
So you're not.
Yeah, but that anticipation building, though, is part of what makes the game exciting.
Well, it was passport,
yeah.
And not only that, I mean, you know, the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, they got to sell advertising.
I know.
The longer the game goes.
But Jesus, the whole goddamn field's an ad now.
Do you hear yourself?
It is.
Do you hear yourself?
Like, I saw the WNBA, what they do with that floor now.
Yeah, well, they
don't even look. I can't find a ball.
They go, shut up.
Where'd the ball go?
Yeah, but they got to make money. They're not selling as many tickets.
I get it. Well, girls, get out there.
252 WCMF. The NFL announces yesterday they will be using virtual Hawkeye tech to measure first downs. This is after all the hubbub about what happened to the Bills in the AFC Championship game. It will be an overhead camera, some sort of technology used to spot it. I'm sure we'll find out more as we move forward. The NFL says they used it in the preseason last year, and it actually goes much quicker, to your point, than moving the chains out. But it may not have helped what happened with Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game. So if that's what caused you to change this technology, what's the point?
Right.
Let's talk to Scott. He's got it all figured out.
Scotty boy.
Yeah, he's on CMF. Hey, Scotty, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, boys. Listen, the real football has it figured out already. There's a chip in the ball. The second that it reaches the goal line or over the goal line, the referee's watch buzzes. Boom, it's a goal.
You're referring to soccer.
Of course, the real football. So,
oh, he's one of these guys.
What part of England are you from?
North Greece.
Okay. Oh, you're okay. That makes sense. Italian parents. Yeah, you're watching. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Yeah, Jewish parents, but that's okay.
Okay, I don't know, man. I don't know why someone from Greece would grow up a diehard soccer fan besmirching the good name of American football, Scotty.
I don't know. My son played professional soccer, so I guess I got to be one of those.
Okay,
boys.
All right, Scott. Jeez, well, now he's dropping stuff on us.
Duffy, seriously, the soccer hasn't figured out. So chipping the ball, the referee's watch buzzes. There's no, like, if answer, there's no question. You don't need eye in the sky, freaking, you know, the guy eye in the sky. And it also takes up, also takes out the forward progress. The second it reaches where it's got to go, it's a first down.
No, Scott, I agree with you. I thought that's what we were going to see. I thought when the NFL
it seems like
made that
would make more sense than what they're doing with this. Like, if they're going to make a rule change and use technology to do it, that's the way you go.
I guess my only question would be, okay, I'm not familiar with soccer, Scott, because I am a red-blooded American. However, is it like hockey where the whole ball has to cross the line for it to be a goal?
Correct.
Okay, so how, like, the shape of a football. Do you just put the chip in the...
Maybe you have a long
on
sensor.
Both ends.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, no. You put it in the nose. You put it in the nose on both ends.
What if he goes like this with the football?
The nose reach.
Sideways.
Yeah, like with Josh when he reaches over.
Yeah, I mean, if you go side... I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Right. If that's the concern.
Now we're grasping at, like...
No, but...
No, like, I'm asking actual legit questions, man.
Why couldn't you just have, like, chips all over the ball?
Oh, so... Well, because then the ball would cost $9,000.
Well, I mean, but...
Bag of chips.
No, yeah, Scotty...
But different parts of the soccer ball cross the line at different parts that still work.
That's what I'm asking. How do they do that?
Well, it's a chip in...
Hey, you don't know, do you, soccer boy?
He's like, I don't know how it works.
I don't know.
I don't know the technology. I just know that it works.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, where'd your son play professional soccer?
Here in Rochester,
He was a Rhino?
No, he was on the Flower City Union that won their championship 2 years
ago. The new Rhinos.
That no longer exist.
Gotcha. All right, well, got more time on his hands. He should go research the chip stuff, Scotty.
Yes, I'll get right on that.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call. No, you get what I'm saying. I think it's a valid question.
Yeah.
Because, again, you can't afford for that technology to fail you in the most important moment.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
why. Is it one of those things like baseball has where you only use that technology if you can't make a decision?
Possibly.
You know what I mean? Let the refs do their job, but if they're coming to a conclusion of, like, let's let the chips have a say.
Yeah, possibly. But, again, what if in that one time the ball's sideways?
Right.
Yeah. Right? I know that the NHL has chips in the pucks. They don't use that to determine goals. Mm.
So then why do they have them?
It's to measure like speed of puck and where players are and stuff like that.
Really?
Like on the ice. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like Tage Thompson had like 100.
So it's like how golf does it with their speed and
yes,
height.
Exactly. Right. But I've always wondered, like, pucks cost $1. What is a hockey puck that the NHL uses now cost? Because those things go into the stands all the time.
Oh.
Like, does the guy who runs the budget for the Sabres, like, every time a puck goes in, they're like, oh no.